Hello, everyone, and welcome to I'm Actually Comics for Wednesday, December 19th.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Tristan.
And I'm Bob.
And this is going to be the last podcast before the new year, probably, because there's no reason to do one for the, 12 comics that are coming out on the day after Christmas. But we'll talk about all the stuff that's coming out now, because there's giant piles of them.
Yeah. And, stick a fork in 2018. It's done.
Yes, stick forks in all of us.
The whole
we
lot
all
of them.
Deserve forks.
There's a lot of stuff.
There is.
A lot of stuff. What should we talk about?
I want to talk about Spider-Geddon first.
Spider-Goiter.
Spider-Geddon comes to kind of an abrupt halt here with issue number 5. I really dig it.
Nice.
I thought it was a fun, funny, silly little way to wrap it up. It was satisfying and funny, and I dug it. Yeah, if you like the last one, you like this one. It's great.
And also, if you like that animated Spider-Man movie with lots of Spider-Man in it, then this is the comic probably for you too, because that's a really popular movie, right? Number one movie in America.
That's so crazy.
It is. It's cool, though.
It is. It's just bizarre to live in a world where an animated Spider-Man movie is the number one movie in the world.
But, honestly, it looks really good. It is weird. Yeah,
people are saying, well, in a good way. I mean, but people are saying, Sean Murphy, when he came out, he said, I just witnessed a Star Wars moment. This was this generation's Star Wars moment. I just saw something new.
Cool.
He was like, this is a big deal.
Nice.
I was like, wow, that's cool.
I saw the trailer months ago and was just like, I have to see that movie. And now I haven't seen it. I haven't seen Aquaman, but I'm going to see them both.
Chad and I are going to go see it sometime. I think we're going to try to make it this week.
Shoot. Text me.
Yeah, I will.
I'll come.
Okay. So Spider-Geddon.
Yeah.
Good.
Number 5.
Love it.
It's out. Also, X-Men is out.
And Uncanny X-Men number 6.
6.
Is out.
Featuring the first appearance of Magneto. No, I'm just,
it's cool.
Get it? Uncanny X-Men number 6. Except for Magneto didn't appear in it.
Damn you!
I read
get it right.
Yeah, who did appear in number 6? The Blob. Anyway, sure. This one is cool. Stuff is continuing to happen, and I think they're setting up this new Age of Apocalypse style crossover thing that's happening. And there's some moments with the newer, younger X-Men that are nice, and it continues to be good.
And we don't have it facing out here. I don't know if you have it in our pile for new stuff, but the Cable crossover, the Execution,
it's in there.
Excommunication.
It's in there. We'll get to it. It's right.
You know what? Let's get to it right now.
Okay. Well, you start talking about it, and I'll find it. Here it is.
I really dug this one.
I liked it too.
I've liked the series in general, but I had no real feelings like it was going anywhere. And this wraps up in such a way that I was really stoked that I had read the whole thing. And I would highly recommend, if you're into the new X-Men series, to go back and read this series, because it does tie up all of the all new X-Men characters. It does tie up all the loose ends to get you to where you need to be for this series.
Yeah, the way I felt about it is ultimately the idea of the original X-Men coming to the future to be regular X-Men and not going away very quickly was an idea that was really so dumb that the end of it kind of had to be kind of silly, and it is kind of silly how it wraps up in a way, but the series itself and the things that happen in the comic and the art and the writing is all really good, and it sets up the new X-Force, which looks awesome.
It does.
And there's a continuity bomb at the end.
There is. There's somebody that everybody's been waiting for, great.
So it's good. And the art is really good, and that was...
That's right. Maggot is coming back.
Maggot is back. There was actually a really cool...
He's still my favorite X-Man.
I love Maggot.
I'm so mad that he's not back.
Maggot's cool. He was cool.
Someday.
Who didn't like Maggot? I don't know.
I feel like he was the butt of every joke in the 90s.
Marrow was the butt of every
which
90s
which is too bad, because I loved Marrow, too.
I didn't love Marrow.
Ah,
I don't like stereotypically angry, angry characters that are angry, and then you never really find out why. I mean, I guess because Bones grew out of her skin.
Well, she was angry because she all of the X-Men were lording over them. They were all super pretty. Every one of the X-Men.
She was a Morlock.
She was a Morlock. And the X-Men are gorgeous, examples of human form.
Sort of.
Just kind of different. And like, and she's like, yeah, of course, you know, you guys are going to be cool. You've got magic powers and you're beautiful. I've got weird bones sticking out of my body and I look like a freak.
Yeah.
And I live in the sewer.
And I live in the sewer. With,
which is a bummer.
With a guy who makes people's faces come off. Yeah. Good old Morlocks. I really like the Morlocks. I thought they were cool characters in general.
I do love the Morlocks. I mean, I think that it's a difficult story to continue if you want to say that you like the X-Men. Because it's like, if you want them to still be heroes... and they let the Morlocks live in the sewers, I feel like it's a weird move.
Yeah, it is. Also, there's the weird anachronism of the Morlocks where they had that guy Mask whose whole power was that he could make you look like whatever. Like, yes. So, like, they're like, oh, we're so hideous. And it's like, but you have a guy on your team that can make you look like anything. And whoa.
Yeah, cat's just knocking mics over.
Yeah, mic drop from the cat. I'll hold on to it so it doesn't drop. Anyway, so Extermination is out. And also out is Infinity Wars number 6, the final issue, and also the tie-in issue, Infinity Wars Fallen Guardian, which Tristan is going to talk about.
Oh, yeah. So there's not a lot that I can actually talk about because it spoils who the Fallen Guardian is, which is kind of an important plot point. But I will say that it's, as far as like killing off a character goes, like I've been waiting for one of the Guardians of the Galaxy to die in this series. And this is kind of one of the coolest ways I've seen anybody remove a character from continuity without killing them. Hmm. It was just a very, I love the story. I love what they did with the character. It retires them in a very like powerful, but like, funny and kind of life-affirming way. I thought it was really awesome. So nice. That's all I can say about it without spoiling what happens.
Yes, and also Infinity Wars is the tie-in, the wrap-up.
Also, it reminds me of Parks and Rec. And take from that what you will.
Nice. You reminded me of a really great moment from a comic I enjoyed this week, Black Panther versus Deadpool number 3. I'm continuing to 3 issues in. It's, I totally love this. There's a cyborg zebra now, but you know that's not even too much of a spoiler. The big apparently this issue is, well, let's say apparently this issue is about them fighting the Jack-O-Lantern, and apparently the Jack-O-Lantern was thought dead, so they came up with this way for him to not be dead, which is actually really fun and interesting.
Yeah, I think he got killed in Agent Venom a million years ago. I thought that somebody blew his head off.
He got burned to a crisp, basically, according to page 1 of this comic. But he comes back. But there's like this whole thing with what you were talking about with the character, the Fallen Guardian or whatever. There's a line from Jack-O-Lantern, and he's just like, this whole thing about he just wants to kill someone who'll stay dead. He's just like, I just want to kill someone who'll stay dead. And I thought that was really cool. It was great.
Very difficult in the Marvel Universe to do that.
Yeah, you basically have to go back in time and kill Uncle Ben.
Okay.
Because that's what I'm doing. Else. Apparently, yeah, I don't know. Mm. Black Panther versus Deadpool number 3 is really fun and good. And another fun and good Marvel book that came out was Domino number 9, where Domino. She fights Longshot. And, you know, Domino versus Longshot, why it never happened before is a question that Gail Simone also asked and answered.
You'd think it would just be like when you like aim a camera at a TV, like a video camera at a TV, and then it just starts just a like giant loop.
Or you know where I found that?
Was feedback
in the,
loops.
In the men's room at the Macaroni Grill.
There you go. Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's like made of mirrors. Longshot is basically, something's wrong with Longshot, and I can't say too much about what it is because what it is essentially like the entire...
It's a urinary tract infection.
He has the unluckiest, the luckiest urinary tract infection ever known.
Wow.
Would you like to talk about this comic?
I would love to, though I didn't read it.
Oh, I didn't read it either. I
know. I'm sorry. Yet again, I'm just gonna push Lucifer, the comic book, and you know what? And the Devil as well. I think that both of them are great. I think that you should read the book Lucifer, and I think that you should also worship him. Those are my two things.
Okay.
I'm just kidding, everybody.
But are you?
The comic isn't that good, but Worship Satan is definitely definite.
Now, this comic has art by Max and Sebastian Fiumara, who are awesome.
That friggin' book is so good. Again, all of the Sandman books are solid. There's only one that I don't even think that I would say that I don't like it. It's just that there's only one that's slightly weak, and that's House of Whispers.
Whispers.
House of Whispers is a tough one because it's very similar to like three other books that are out currently. But it's still very good. Like all of them are just really good. And Lucifer is in the top. I think the Sandman one is probably the best. The Dreaming is my third favorite, but I think Lucifer is definitely a contender for the top spot.
Cool. The art is definitely a contender for the top spot. Also, coloring by Dave McCaig. The only person involved in this comic that I'm not familiar with is the writer Dan Waters.
The story is probably one of the most solid parts.
Looks cool.
Big fan. I have not read this issue. This could totally ruin everything. It could be the one that I hate, but looking at it, I don't think that's the case.
Probably not. There's a fill-in issue of Harley Quinn, number 56, but the fill-in writer is Mark Russell,
who we
love, and this comic was really funny. It is a goofy story about Harley trying to give away cats, and then there's a pet store that is run by men, and so there's a lot of there's a lot of metaphors in this comic, but it's actually really smart, and there's some great dialogue, and it was really fun to read, and I enjoyed this issue of Harley Quinn, and Mark Russell is a treasure.
He sure is.
What's next? How about... we could talk about this depressing issue of Batman that came out.
There's another depressing
issue of Batman where a serial killer is doing... Yeah, no, there's a killer, and there's some victims, some murder victims, and I can't say much else about it because I would give away the twist of the story, which is dark.
Yes.
Go figure, the Batman comic is dark.
Oh, and also, speaking of Mark Russell, I just wanted to plug...
Is he writing Batman?
I just wanted to plug two of his other books. I actually gave them to my dad for Christmas this year.
Nice.
But Apocrypha Now and God is Disappointed in You are both amazing books. They're just retellings of the Bible in really crazy, bizarre ways, and it's just a very fun... They're two very fun books.
These are books?
Book books, and they're illustrated by Shannon Wheeler of Too Much Coffee Man fame, which is also very cool.
So like spot illustrations in them?
Yeah, just like...
Cool.
It's a book with like 30... illustrations by Shannon Wheeler, but
wicked.
Very, very cool, and they're just sort of snarky retellings of Bible stories.
On it, I'm gonna get those.
You should, and they're also
at the bookstore this weekend.
In very nice presentations. They're done in like gold leafed. Yeah, they're pretty
neat. So,
yeah,
cool. There's a Captain America comic that came out, number 6.
There
a lot
is.
Of number 6s this week. number 6 of Captain America is by Ta-Nehisi Coates and Lionel Francis Yu, and it is continuing the story of crossover with Hellboy in this issue. That's all I'm going to say. Not really.
Okay.
I mean, well, sort of.
Either way,
there's a character that they share now.
Either way, I have been loving this comic. I really like what Ta-Nehisi Coates is doing with Captain America.
Mm.
It's tough for me to get into Captain America for the most part. There are only like 4 or 5 exceptional writers who have written things that I've been like, okay, now I can read this. It's like the Fantastic Four.
Mm.
Hickman did it, and I went, holy crap, I love this book. And, Mark Waid did it, and I went, okay, this is pretty great. And with this is one of my favorite Cap runs.
Nice. I think it's good.
It's not quite Brubaker, but it's great.
No, that's probably my favorite Cap run.
It's got to... I mean...
Yeah.
How the hell can you beat that?
Well,
not really possible.
I really like stuff from the 80s, but, whatever.
I only like the Cap Wolf story.
The Cap Wolf. That was after my time, but the one where he lost his powers and got old and then fought the Red Skull as an old man in 300th issue. That was like the Mike Zeck issues and then up. So I came in at the tail end of Mike Zeck as the artist, but he was still doing the covers and then... I don't know, whatever. It was okay. Mark Grunwald, I think.
Someone had mentioned the issue where he cuts the head off of Baron Blood.
Yeah.
And so I went back and read that, and that was pretty great. That was a pretty great issue.
That's John Byrne drew that one, I think. Or he did the cover at the very least.
I think
he
might have just done the cover.
Or he wrote it or something.
The art certainly didn't seem like John Byrne.
Yeah, maybe it was.
At least in my memory, which this was a while ago.
For some reason, I associate John Byrne with Baron Blood. I don't know why in my head.
Maybe.
But, one of the first comics I ever read as a kid, or I say that a lot, you know, an early comic that I read, was a Captain America annual where he fights the Red Skull and the Red Skull has the cosmic cube and he makes all the bones vanish from Captain America's body. So he's like running at him and then all of a sudden he like falls into a pile of flesh. And I just thought that was like the weirdest, scariest thing as a child.
That's disgusting and horrific.
Yeah, he's just like, make your bones go away. And I often will make boneless jokes about things. It affected me deeply. I'm 44 years old now and
there
I still remember it. Beast of Burden number 4, not number 6, out. Wise Dogs and Eldritch Men by Evan Dorkin and Benjamin Dewey. Continuing the story. Looks good. Didn't read it. Didn't have time. Sorry.
It's been good so far.
This is a series I collect, so I'm a big fan.
I'm really bummed out to hear all the stuff from him about how he can't continue doing this series because Jill Thompson's being a butt.
What?
Yeah, there's a lot of Jill Thompson being a butt about this story.
Huh.
He was supposed to do his continuing story of this thing. She's throwing a fit that there's another artist on it, I think.
Huh.
I have to fill in the blanks from like little Twitter posts, but
yeah,
it seems as though there's a problem with him continuing to do this book.
Well, that sucks. Well, at least he's got that Blackwood series. Maybe he can continue that.
Blackwood rules, by the way.
And Benjamin Dewey rules.
And the trade for Blackwood was out last week.
What?
So you should read it if you have any interest in that kind of a thing.
Yeah, and there's all those like cool back reprints of Dork, right? Didn't that come out recently?
Yeah, yeah.
Something? Evan Dorkin's awesome.
He really is.
Or you could just, you know, watch Space Ghost Coast to Coast again. the good ones.
I probably will.
Yeah, he's good. Life of Captain Marvel came out. I flipped through it. It's a Captain Marvel comic.
She's alive.
She's alive. She has a life. And at the end, she dies. Spoiler. No, I don't know. She doesn't die at the end. I don't think so. Anyway,
someone came into the store today who went to the premiere some has seen Captain Marvel and was talking about how fucking life-changing it was, but wouldn't tell me anything, no matter how much I ask. I asked so many questions and I got no answers.
That person was not cool.
That person was very good about not spoiling.
Very bad about not spoiling things.
I know.
I saw this movie and I'm not going to tell you about it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right. Did you really see it? I don't think so.
Exactly.
What else came out? Let's talk about briefly Catwoman. Number 6. Catwoman number 6 is out. Apparently 6 months ago, every comic started again. Catwoman. And it's the end of the arc where she fights that lady with the weird fake plastic nose.
Weird fake plastic nose. And from the pages of Hellboy, Crimson Lotus number 2.
Cool art in that, man. Cool art. That's another one. I collect the Hellboy stuff, and I'm back on the train. Apparently there's going to be a trailer for Hellboy. If it's not already out, it's coming out. I'm getting hyped. I'm getting psyched. And Crimson Lotus is cool because it is by John Arcudi, who I love, and Mindy Lee, who is great. And Michelle Madsen is also credited on the cover. And many other people also made that fine comic book about monkeys with strange masks that turn them into demons. It's about more than that, but that's
so typical.
That's the MacGuffin. I don't know. Is it a MacGuffin? I don't know if it's a MacGuffin.
I don't know.
It might actually be a MacGuffin. It might not be. It might be a mulligan on my part. Sorry. You could talk about something else.
Some sort of thing like that.
It's a mulligan. It's a MacGuffin. I don't know.
It's a mulligatawny stew. I would like to talk about Defenders, the best defense, number 1.
Ooh, talk about things.
Probably the poorest promoted comic of the year, I would definitely give to this. They refused to tell people this was a Defenders series on the covers.
Yeah, they also just refused to tell people it didn't take place in the present.
That
it all is in the future.
There's so much of this that is intentionally obfuscated and confusing by the people who are trying to promote this book. I will say, it's great. I love this book. And also, if you can't get enough of Immortal Hulk, you get more Immortal Hulk in this series. Mm. And so the parts with those characters are taking place in the present. So Immortal is taking place. Doctor Strange is in the future, and he's contacting
Silver Surfer
people
in the future
past.
Too. I think yes, maybe
Namor, Silver Surfer.
But that part where they're floating in space, and then the Silver Surfer makes his silver skin go around Namor, and then he turns himself into his board. So you have Namor surfing on the actual body of the Silver Surfer. That's a thing that happens in the middle of that comic, and it's crazy.
Yeah, and also, I don't know how much of a spoiler this is. I don't care, because it'll get people to read the book. The Hulk finally starts eating people again, and I fucking love it.
I missed that. I guess.
He eats somebody's face in this book, I was like, I'm into this.
Okay.
Some dumb cat person starts talking crap, and he goes, you know what? I'm going to eat your face, and then he does it.
Wow.
Like, there you go. You know? Maybe, you know, don't talk shit. So
Don't talk smack to the immortal Hulk. He'll eat your face.
He will eat your face.
Right off. He'll eat it right off. Next up is it
West Coast Avengers number six.
Number six. Yeah. Hey, we got another number six. I really love West Coast Avengers. This is a team of supervillains have enacted a plan. It starts like right in the middle of it that the West Coast Avengers are in cages being dangled above sharks, which is you know, the kind of a thing that you might think is cliche in another comic book, but in this one it's great
because they've got legs.
Spoilers. The land sharks from this comic number six. So of the six issues, I think at least four of them have had sharks with legs.
Yeah.
That's not a reason for you to read this comic, then, you know, you should read it because it has good story and art.
Yes.
Maybe that's a good enough reason. I don't know. Yeah. I really like
the book. Really rules. So, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Iceman, number four,
Iceman.
Is out.
Yeah.
He's a man. He's made of ice.
Here. He is made of ice, and he's fighting Mr. Sinister for some reason. It's happening. I don't know. I don't know why that's here. I brought it.
I'm just going to tell you that I do love Shade, whoever this is, and I...
Shade? The Changing Man?
No, Shade, the X-person, the, like, drag queen X-man looking character with, like, tons of pouches. I have no idea who it is, but it's my new favorite character.
Is that the one that's opening for Dazzler?
Yep.
Okay. Cool. I'm going to mention that Rumble number 10, new volume 2, I guess it is, number 10, is out. They are back from their weird island adventure and back in the city. Everything is dirty and gritty, and David Rubin is drawing it, and John Arcudi is writing it, and it looks awesome. I can't say too much about it because as a book I collect and like to read in chunks, I have not read this issue, but it looks awesome.
How can you not love this Iceman book? He makes a razor scooter out of ice and rides it through the X Mansion while eating a chili dog.
Sick. You know, how does, you know, it would have to be an actual dog, like it would be cold. The dog would be chilly. Also, he doesn't have a stomach because he's made of ice. His stomach goes away. It's not like he has human organs inside his ice.
Well, okay, he's just carrying it, though. He isn't technically eating the chili
dog.
That
is actually really funny.
That is really funny. There's a lot of stuff in this particular Iceman comic.
The art in this comic is so way weird.
Yeah,
Bishop looks so weird. Why does he have that stripe?
Super wacky.
I designed a costume for myself. It just has a stripe on one side. It just goes up and down. It's like someone else designed this costume, and I hate it. And I'm going to draw it anyway. Mr. Sinister is in it. He has a suit. Iceman is quite muscular. I guess if you create your own body out of ice, you can make it as muscle-bound as you
however
wish.
However you want.
We're getting into...
Shuri, number three.
Number three. Halfway to number six.
She is Groot.
She is awesome. The art in that book alone is like must-buy. I think Shuri is great.
This was the direction...
with Rocket and Groot.
Well... a team up, except that she is Groot. Mm. I mean, Shuri gets into the body of Groot somehow in the last issue, and she now just says, "I am Shuri," and floats around as Groot. It's pretty crazy. It's not at all what I would have expected them to do with that character in this book. It's about as far afield as the concept could have gone, and I really dig that they took such a big risk with it.
Nice. Fun. Who is this artist? Because he is awesome. I love his Rocket and Groot. I love his Shuri. I love his layout.
If you're into
Hernandez meets like superheroes. Who is it?
Yeah,
it
if you're
is,
into kind of
oh,
like
Leonardo
cartoony.
Romero. And the writer is Nnedi Okorafor. Cool stuff. Dig it. Probably if I were to pick a pick of the week, for me, it might be Freedom Fighters number one. They are 1/6 of the way to number six. And I love this.
Wait, so, which one is it?
I'm Freedom sorry. Fighters, number one.
Oh, man, that book was good.
Yeah, so this is a 12-issue miniseries, number one. And it is Earth-X, which on DC continuity is the Earth that was where the Allies lost World War II. And the opening chapter of this starts on the day that Kennedy was assassinated. But in this reality, obviously, things are much different. I will say they call the Nazis Ratsies exclusively through it, which is amazing. The Nazis have Plastic Man powered SS agents. Like, so basically
the
all of
the Plastic Men.
The Plastic Men with two lightning bolt S's. So basically just imagine like Nazis control the Earth and their enforcers have the powers of Plastic Man. And it's actually pretty, the art is really good. The writing, Venditti, who did Green Lantern for a long time and I wasn't so into it, just apparently just needed to tell like a unique story outside of continuity because I think he's a good writer.
Yeah. This is great.
Yeah. It's really, there's some amazingly good moments in it.
It's just so fun to have these like complete Elseworlds, complete just like, no, you don't have to worry about any of these characters and any of the continuity. It's just, it's its own crazy story and it's super fun.
Yeah. And but it is very much like the Grant Morrison kind of conception of the Freedom Fighters from Multiversity. But you know, not with his input beyond any of that.
But it is funny because it does kind of remind me of Seven Soldiers in a lot of ways. It has a little bit of that feel to me.
Yeah, it's cool.
Which is a huge compliment because that story ruled.
Yeah, and I mean, Freedom Fighters has been they've had multiple Freedom Fighters series over the decades. Like, I remember reading the old ones from the 70s, like in the 80s when they were, they were back issues to me, but like, those are some wacky things. And then there was like an arc of All-Star Squadron that had them. And I really loved All-Star Squadron when I was a kid. Anyway, whatever. This new take is one of the best.
Yeah, I think so too.
Actually, I would say it is at least one of the best and maybe the best. It's good.
Yeah.
I really like this.
Get into it. You're going to be stoked.
Yeah, it's cool. Justice League, number 14. They went a little bit further past number six than many other comics. this is the start of a new arc that has
them. If going you to like Hawkworld, you're going to be excited.
You know?
Hey, is this thing on? Anybody like Hawkworld?
The thing I said to you at the store was just like, I thought of a way to make Justice League less confusing. Let's take them to Hawkworld.
Everybody loves Hawkworld.
Apparently now Hawkworld, it's Escape from Hawkworld is the name of the arc.
That's probably a good idea.
Let's skip this one.
Yeah, that book sucks.
Yeah, it really
does. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but I'll tell you one thing. Well, it sucks.
It's the one with the space mimes.
Damn it. Now we've been directly negative to something.
Oh, shoot. I mean, it's not that one.
I mean, it's something different.
It's a different comic completely that I definitely could be wrong about because I never opened. Marvel Knights number 4 is out. They're almost to number 6. Closer to number 6 is The Punisher number 5, which also came out.
Yes.
And that is him fighting Hydra. According to the him shooting guns with a Hydra symbol in the background.
I gotta say, I definitely dig this. It feels like a crossover of the like Marvel Knights Garth Ennis Punisher who doesn't live inside the Marvel universe where it's so gritty, but then they add in Captain America villains and it becomes that gritty inside the cartoony, you know, underwear on the outside superhero world. Cool. And it's pretty great.
I have to say that for some reason when you said Garth Ennis, I thought of Garth Brooks.
What I meant to say was it's
like
very
Punisher
much
is Garth Brooks.
And the thunder rolls.
The thunder rolls.
And the lightning strikes.
So also out this week that I wish I had read because I didn't. Is
dope.
Spider-Man six, number 6 part 2, aka Spider-Man number 12.
And also something that probably is going to be something people are going to be looking for. is the new Teen Titans, number 25.
The origin of the daughter of Lobo.
The origin of Crush, the daughter of Lobo, who is becoming a fan favorite character.
Really?
Yeah. Cool. I mean, I can kind of understand, because it does kind of take care of a lot of problematic things with Lobo. So
it does?
Well, I mean, because he tends to be kind of a misogynistic, blah, 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 blah. Eh, make him female. That takes care of a lot of that.
But it's not Lobo. It's the daughter of Lobo.
Yes.
So Lobo is still around and still misogynistic. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's now still... he has a daughter that he doesn't take care of.
But the thing is that you can play off of that, and it does give something cool. Honestly, when they finally do something with Lobo and her, I think it's going to be fun.
Okay.
I mean, Lobo, his whole purpose was to be all of the bad things about comics.
True.
Like, he was designed specifically to be too violent, too stupid, too overly full of machismo. Everything who was it who created him? Not Giffen.
Lobo, Bisley was the artist, and Alan Grant was the writer.
And so it was like all about just making this terrible thing, and the writer was kind of confused when it took off and people started liking it because he was kind of trying to make a point, I think.
Hmm. Yeah, he was like, it was a mockery. Also, the first appearance of Lobo, I love how he looks in that, and they should go back to that.
Oh,
look.
To the old, to the Omega Men version?
Yeah, she has kind of that color, the color scheme of that Omega Men version of Lobo.
I hate to say it. I know that she's just crass commercialization, but I kind of love that character. Like, I like the look of the character.
I like her
being kind of a Hot Topic punk version of Lobo. Of Lobo.
Yeah.
I can't explain why I like it. I just do.
I just really dislike this take on Teen Titans, and so I haven't given it a chance.
Yeah, maybe I'm really digging her as a character. I like her. Cool. I like her silly faux punk name, like everything about it. I'm just like, it's great. I think it's silly and fun.
That's cool. This is the 25th issue. It costs a little bit more, but it's extra sized. And I am going to use its artist as a segue to talk about a comic book that we both really liked. So this, written by Adam Glass, drawn by Robson Rocha.
Robson Rocha.
And also Robson Rocha drew another comic that came out today, and it is our tomorrow, and it is called All New Aquaman.
Oh boy, it's good.
Number 43, part one of the new run of Aquaman. I have been very much looking forward to this. And I will say it delivered. You've taken Aquaman. He doesn't know who he is. He's living in a coastal community. So it's like a ground zero. Like, he's not connected to the Martian Manhunter or Superman or any of that stuff. It's just like, here's Aquaman doing Aquaman stuff. And I thought it was really good. Not a lot happens in it. It's definitely like a part.
Yeah, it definitely feels like a,
you know,
like a zero issue. Kind
yeah,
of.
Yeah. But
establishing status quo, and that's kind of it. There's no big, holy crap, I can't believe X happened. It's just good comic.
And I'd be willing to bet that it probably centers Aquaman a little bit closer to the movie.
Yes.
Which will be out or is out.
Also, I swear to God, the first panel is a parody of the Wet Thor meme that's been going around.
Yeah.
Because he literally walks through the door looking like Thor with a little tiny hammer.
It's true. He does have a little tiny hammer.
It's kind of hilarious.
He's using it to weatherproof a house so that people don't die from the ocean.
That's very nice.
It is nice. He's nice. He's a nice guy. He's a nice neighbor in this. But let's use that as a segue to... Oh, did you want to say more about this issue?
I'm good.
So Kelly Sue DeConnick.
Although, God damn it, this art is so pretty.
It's great. I really like it. And the writing is good, too.
Yeah.
I like his new name. He's called... Alex?
They call Moist him Steve.
Moist Steve. No, they call him...
Mr. Moisty.
Senor Moist Boy. His name is...
Johnny Wetzo.
Filippa Dippa. His name is Filippa Dippa. His name is Andy. Aqua Andy. he's got some other longer name that means...
I think it's Andy Wet Pants.
He's also got the name Arausio.
Ooh,
which means orange.
You know.
But Kelly Sue DeConnick is a good writer.
In the new Aquaman movie, I think that he's also Arausio. Oh my goodness.
God damn you.
I'm sorry.
So speaking of Aqua Thor, we have regular Land Thor, which is Thor and is that Valkyrie or is that that's Angela?
Angela.
Thor's sister, Angela. And they are trapped in the
He calls her Angie.
They're trapped in the mythical realm of heaven in this comic. Although I think, is that?
I have not read it. I don't know what the hell's going on.
It's Jane Foster is in this for a second.
Ooh.
And she's got a dog. Thorry. Thorry.
Oh, Thorry's
she's
in
got
it.
Thorry.
I love Thorry. Holy crap.
That's cool. I clearly did not read this. But the art is pretty neat, actually. It's trippy like it has been, but it's easier to follow. There's a dog. There's a goat. There's lots of headgear. This looks cool, actually. Nice. Ooh, and then there's a cameo at the end. Neat.
Can we talk
Thor
again?
Thor number six.
I'm going to talk again about a comic that no one should waste time talking about in a podcast. I'm sorry, everyone.
I love this comic book.
I do too. And I just, I can't tell people enough how awesome this book is. Marvel Superhero Adventures, another number one. This is the one with the Frost Giants on it. It's just the best kids comic. It's so fun. It's so smart. It's funny and cute. Like he's literally like looked at the first page and laughed out loud.
It's the
it's
third
funny
page.
Funny and it's, silly, and it is great.
It's Doctor Strange and the Hulk playing video games.
Seriously,
it's really
just like,
great.
It's so goddamn charming. It's insane.
This is like
if you have kids that want to read Marvel comics, this is exactly where they need to be.
No, I had to get to the Ty Templeton's fake
so good
comic strips, Hella the Horrible
and
Little Orphan Ant-Man.
Oh
man, Dilbert is called Daly and it's J. Jonah Jameson, and then there's Charlie Brown as Spider-Man. This is amazing. They have to collect these, just these.
Oh,
I will buy it.
I would be very sad if they didn't.
Oh man, there's a sweet Rainbow Bridge maze.
Yeah.
It's a maze that's the Rainbow Bridge.
These books are great. They're great.
And Spider-Man using his webs above the ocean somehow. I love it. It's great. He's like swinging on webs, but he's above the ocean. It's great. That's really cool. Oh, he makes
That was always Spider-Man and his amazing friends was always like that where he was like they would never show anything that he could possibly be swinging from. He'd be like in the park and there'd be no trees and he'd just be
I think there
swinging,
was an ambush bug or it was something where someone was making fun of that and it was like someone was like making fun of like what are you holding on to and it's like I don't know and then they just like fall or whatever.
Yes.
But I do remember back in my Teen Titans fan days, there was a series that was called Tales of the New Teen Titans, and it was the origins of the new version. So it was Starfire and Cyborg and Beast Boy and all that. And at the end, there was like a pinup, a George Perez like pinup. And then there were like three other ones that didn't get pinups. So they did this annual, and it had pinups for all the ones that didn't get miniseries. And the one of Robin is like, he's like an entire skyscraper's height above the top of the skyscrapers holding onto a rope that's like it's like attached to the sun or something. It's one of my
or
favorite
a helicopter.
It's a Robin pinup by George Perez. If you ever find it, it's really funny. So we're down to really quickly New Vertigo number 2. American Carnage is a story about a guy who's going undercover to try to bust a group of white supremacists and is compelling and interesting and good, and I enjoyed it. It should not be the last thing we talk about, and nor
no, because we want to talk about Exiles, which is a book that keeps getting ignored by people.
It
which
really
is great.
Does. Exiles is ending next issue, so this is the second to last one. Probably not worth spending a ton of time talking about it. But
only,
I love
only
it.
Only to mourn it.
I love it. I'm sad it's going to end. I'm psyched that Saladin Ahmed is doing a bunch of new stuff with Miles Morales, and then he's also doing another series that was just announced that looks really cool, but I can't remember right off the top of my head. So this is the Exiles team versus the Anti-Exiles team, which includes Thor as a skeleton, a gamma irradiated Steve Rogers, who is also a Nazi, a high fashion.
He's also fun, not very smart.
Yes, he's very stupid, and he has a receding hairline, which is an interesting choice. There's a version of Kang. There is a version of X-23 called X-2/3. And there is a Killmonger variant that has the most amazing costume. I love the story and art of this. It's a fun, just, I really dug it. And we got 12 issues of it. And the 11th one is out.
Nice. I love it. Yeah, so those are the things.
There are the things.
Yeah.
I will try to post more this week. I actually took pictures in the store. So.
Yes, at I'm Actually Comics, yes. on the Instagrams. I'll try to remember to do all of the books again this time. I did not do it last week a jerk.
I mean, it's Christmas. We're busy. It's
you things, know, so this happen. Is Christmas. And what have you done?
I have forgotten to post the Instagram.
You now owe the estate of John Lennon $30 million.
Sick. They're going to be collecting for a while because they got to get in line behind the student loan people.
Awesome. All right. I don't know what else there is to say. There's a bunch of good stuff. Come on in, and we'll see you next time.
Oh, yeah. Did you want to talk about codes or anything of that stuff?
Yeah, sure. Offer code subscribe. If you get $30 worth of stuff, you get 25% off. And offer code
Blarg,
BLARGH exclamation point, gets you.
I just love making you spell that.
And gets you free shipping.
Cool.
So buy things on our website. We have all sorts of stuff up, 100 and change titles every week that we put up, brand new, and old existing series and monster magazines, toys. We're putting up more vintage stuff all the time. We're doing vintage toy parts. So old G.I. Joe accessories and things like that are going to start going up on there.
Cool.
We're going to just keep adding to it all the time.
Do you ship skateboard parts?
We do ship skateboard parts. We actually have decks up there. We have some of the more interesting decks that we get in. We've got the Texas Chainsaw Massacre series up there. We've
what?
Got the Rick and Morty boards. Yeah, there are four of them. Heroin Shit. Skates made four amazing Texas Chainsaw boards.
Oh my God.
So we have
Does
all four
look
of
like
those
a chainsaw?
Decks. Strangely, no. One of them is
missed
all
opportunity.
One of them is all Japanese advertisements for Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and
cool.
It's so cool.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So anyway, Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Yes. Happy. We'll see you in 2019.
Yeah. See you later.